I want to try and make it a little interactive, this session. And I want to just share on a few themes which I think will be useful for the youth in this session. So I want to maybe try and speak on three or four different things, time permitting, each of them for maybe 5 minutes, and 5 or 7 minutes, and then we can have a little interactive time. So I'm going to share on, maybe we can do it like this. I'll share on a theme, and once I finish, after 5 minutes, you can ask one question or two questions on related to that theme. Okay, if you have a question. Yeah. Okay. So the first thing I thought we can look at it is the importance of being thankful. The importance of being thankful to God in our lives. We can just refer a few verses of scripture, not too many, just one or two. I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and verses 11 to 16. Luke 17, 11 to 16. All of you know this passage, so I don't want to really read it. So we know the story, right? There were 10 lepers who had a need in their life. All 10 had this terrible disease, no cure, can't run away from it, social outcasts. You know, in those days, if you were a leper, you had to stay in a separate area. You could not come and mix with the rest of Israel. There was a designated area. You had to be there. Only certain roads were allowed for you to go. You couldn't come onto the main avenues, main roads. So this was their situation, and 10 of them came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal them, and Jesus healed all 10 lepers. But we see their reactions to Jesus healing them was very different. So we see that we'll look at verse 15 and 16. Now one of them, so this is one out of the 10 lepers. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned to Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And this particular leper was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found?" Look at this question Jesus asked. "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this Samaritan, except this foreigner?" And Jesus tells him something, and he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." In the Message translation, it says, "Your faith has healed you and saved you." So we see this one leper, so 9 were healed. They got a deliverance from their disease and they went back home. They were happy. But this one man who came back and gave thanks, he got healing plus salvation. He was saved as well, because he came back, he fell at Jesus' feet with a loud voice. He shouted and glorified God and thanked Jesus. So we can see from this incident, dear you, the importance of thanksgiving and how much Jesus values our thanksgiving in different situations. No. As youth, I think, you know, we may have some, I don't know how to say it, we may have some complaints about our home, about our parents, about the way they do things, or, You know, we may have different complaints. It's part of our growing up years. But I want to encourage all of you, you know, develop this habit of being thankful in your heart. Be extremely thankful for what you have received already. Don't murmur about the few things that you don't have, but give thanks for the many things God has given you. For most of you here, God has given you a wonderful home, godly parents who are in the church. Some of you, that may not be true, but for many of you, I think, you know, your parents are in the church. Even if they're not coming to our church, they are Christians, and, you know, there is freedom in your home to worship Jesus and many things like that. We must be thankful, deeply thankful for these things that God has blessed our lives with. If you have a job, be thankful for it. Don't grumble, murmur, oh, this is not so well paying, my boss is bad. No, what he has given you, be thankful. And in the smallest of things, learn that habit of giving thanks. You go somewhere, somebody helps you, make it a point, thank him and thank God. You know, for the smallest things, get into the habit of thanking God. And especially for your answered prayers, thank God. There are very few people, when we pray for something, we pray for weeks and months, Lord, please hear me, please answer me, please hear me, please answer me. And finally, when God answers that prayer, we are very happy. And many times we even forget to say thank you even once to God. Just saying thank you once, I feel, is not enough. When God has heard our prayer over so many weeks and months, we should come back and, like this leper, with a loud voice, we should give thanks to God. So make that a habit in your Christian life. Be thankful to God. Because thankful people get much more from God than the others, like we read in this story. This is one way, one clear way scripture says we can glorify God. See, all of us have that desire to glorify God, right? I think every one of you has that desire. I want to glorify God. How do we glorify God? Maybe one more verse we can turn to in Psalm 50. In your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 50. Verse 23. The last verse of Psalm 50:50. We read, whoever offers praise glorifies me. So if we come back to God and give thanks and give praise to God, God says, you're glorifying me. Simple way, how can we glorify God? Come back to God and say thank you, Lord, and praise him for what he's done. So, keep this in mind, dear brothers and sisters, all your life, be thankful. And I don't have time to show you that verse. You can see in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Maybe we can look at that. It's a verse you should all know, Romans 1, 21. I'll read that verse, Romans 1, 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Listen to this part. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So we read here, those who were not thankful, they become futile in their thoughts, and their hearts become darkened. And then, we don't have time to read, but if you read the following verses, okay, maybe we can read verse 24. Verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts. Verse 24, it says, God also gave them up to their uncleanness. Then again in verse 26, it says the same thing. God gave them up to their vile passions. And then in verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. So we see here a downward progression. God giving them over to something, then God giving them over to something worse, and then God giving them over to something even more worse. But it all started with verse 21 because they were not thankful. So this is something that I feel as youth is very important for you. If you are thankful and you really thank God for the things He has blessed you with, the things He has given you, you will get your Christian life will be far more better and superior than another person who doesn't give thanks. So be thankful for your parents, be thankful for the church, be thankful for the elders who lead you. You know, being an elder is not at all an easy job. But God has given us such wonderful elders and leaders, you know, to lead us, shepherd us, guide us. Be thankful for every one of them. Be thankful. See, we are not out in the world and not out in some outright sin today because of the grace of God and God's protection upon us and because of the church. So we must be extremely thankful, brothers and sisters. So keep that always in your mind. Ask yourself, are you thankful enough for what you've received? Are you thankful enough for your parents? If you're not, ask God to change your heart, change your mind, and make you more thankful. Okay, so I'll stop here about on this. So if you have any questions on being thankful, any of you, you can ask a question. Any of you, if you have a question. Feel free. If you don't have, then we'll move on to the next. Yeah? If you have a question, raise your hand so I can see you and... No? Okay, next one. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Yeah, before we read that verse. So this next thing I want to share with you is, you know, on being a giver in the church. Okay? Being a giver in the church. Then we'll read 2 Corinthians 9, 7, the last part. It says here, God loves a cheerful giver. This is one class of person God loves. God loves a cheerful giver. So, in whatever we do in the church, God is seeing our heart. And whenever He sees somebody who is doing something cheerfully, gladly, and especially as an expression of his thankfulness to God for what God has done for him, God is delighted. So, for example, if you clean the bathroom and your heart's attitude is, Lord, this church has blessed me so much. I have received so much from you through this church. I am so glad to clean the bathroom. This is my expression of saying thanks to you. Or you can serve food, or you can broom the floor. Whatever you do, if you do it with an attitude of giving to God and say, Lord, I'm doing this out of my deep thankfulness to you for what you've done for me, God is so delighted. And, you know, this is one reason lot of young people, you know, their growth, their growing in the Lord is slowed down or hindered because of this reason. They only want to receive. They want to receive, 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 but they don't want to give anything back to God. We shouldn't be people like that. We shouldn't just come to church and say, okay, I want to receive a good message today. I want to hear something. That's good. That's very good. It's good to come to church with that attitude. Lord, I want to hear you. But we shouldn't stop there by just being a receiver. We must ask God to give us a heart that gives back to him. So I see, you know, young people who have that heart, who have that desire. Lord, you've done so much for me, and I want to show you my love and my gratitude by doing something, especially in the church, for you. Now, God sees that heart, and that young person will do very well in his spiritual life. So I want to encourage you, be a giver. Okay, if I may say it like this, be a net giver. You know the meaning of net giver? In accountancy, there is a concept of net. That means after reducing something, net income or net profit, right? So a net giver is somebody who gives more than he receives. So your giving minus your receiving should be on the giving side. So ask God to make you a giver in the church like that. And you see, brothers and sisters, you see your spiritual life will take off in a different way. So whatever you do in the church, whatever opportunities are there to serve within the family, do small things, arrange something, volunteer for something, help the elders with something, or help some of you girls, help the older aunties with something. Take it on cheerfully, and you have this attitude of heart, Lord, I want to give back to you. I want to give back to the church. And if you have that attitude, you see things will go well in your life. So ask God to give you that heart. Lord, make me a net giver in the church. And this verse also, I think all of you know, but it's a very good verse to know. Proverbs 11 verse 25. Proverbs 11 verse 25. It's a verse I think all of you should know by heart. I think many of you know the verse already. It reads, "And he who waters others will also be watered himself." There's a big scriptural principle in this verse. If you take time to water others, if you take time to encourage somebody, you take time to help somebody, God sees that and he will water you. You will not be dry. The reason why many young people are dry is because they have no desire to encourage somebody. They have no desire to water somebody else. But we see many weary souls, right? I mean, during the week we see, at work we see, in college we see, in the church we see. If you have a heart to water somebody, God will water you. So keep that principle always in mind and pray, Lord, help me to water others. Help me to pour water into a dry heart. And God will see that and he will in turn water you. When God waters us, it's much more than what we can water others. We can only pour a little water into somebody else's heart or life, right? But when God waters us, it is, you know, with the rain of heaven. It is with freshness from heaven. So be a giver. Be somebody who will water others. Look around. Look around for other young people who are discouraged, other young people who are weary, and go and encourage them. Go and speak to them and share something God encouraged you, and you water him, God will water you. And such people are always fresh. You go near them, they will never be dry. They will always be fresh. There'll be water inside. So God wants us to be a net giver in the church. Okay, any questions on this? Any questions? Anybody? Feel free to ask. Yes, Alice. Well, we don't need to do it with that motive, but if you do it, this verse is still true. If we water others, definitely God will water us. We don't need to, you know, like Silas said, we don't need to do it with that motive. Okay, let me get something from God, therefore I will help somebody or water others. We don't need to have that wrong motive, but we can have a good motive. We can have a positive motive. Lord, help me to water others. You've heard Brother Zach mention this many times, right? Joseph's, in Genesis, Joseph's entire ministry started because one day, what happened in the jail? He saw two discouraged people, the butler and the baker, and he asked them, "Why are you so sad? What's happened?" And he encouraged them. His entire ministry started from there. So, if we water others, God will water us. So, we can ask God to give us that heart. Lord, give me that heart to give and be a net giver in the church. Givers are always thankful people. Givers are those who've understood how much God has poured into their life and they want to give back to God. And God always sees that and will honor us. Any other question? Any others? Youth? Feel free. Shall we go on to the next? Yeah? Maybe we can hear one or two testimonies also in between. So I'll ask one or two people who Brother Abu has told already to share. So you can be ready. Just 2 minutes. Something that God has helped you in the church or something you want to share about. So those whom Brother Abu has told, please be ready. We can have some of them in between. Okay, the next thing want to share is again a very useful principle for young people. Don't be lonely in the church. You know, God has put us in a wonderful church family. God has put us in a wonderful family. The whole purpose why God has put us in a family is so that we will not be lonely. So God's desire and God's way is that we are never lonely, but we are always in fellowship, working with other people. And teenage particularly, we all know it's a very difficult time, right? We have our own struggles. We feel nobody understands us. We feel parents are old-fashioned. We feel a lot of things and there are a lot of struggles, right? And then we come out of that also. We come into our early 20s. Again, you know, there are struggles. There are problems that we are, you know, facing, grappling with. But in all of this, God's way is that, you know, we are with people and we find fellowship in our home and in the church. If we are lonely, who's lonely? The person who is withdrawn and who wants to stay alone. He doesn't want to mix with everyone. He just wants to be a little, you know, pull back a little bit and be alone. Such a person is very easily discouraged. He is more, you know, prone to being discouraged. But those who talk to others, mix with others, find fellowship, they're never discouraged. Because in that conversation, God will encourage them through these people you speak to. So, since God has given us such a wonderful family in the church, you know, find more fellowship, brothers and sisters. Go and meet other young people who love the Lord. Talk about the Lord. Talk about your struggles. Talk about what you're going through or facing. And maybe the person you're talking to can say something to you that will really liberate you and help you come out of that situation you're facing. So if you were lonely and said, okay, I'll just keep this to myself, you will go back with the same problem and discouraged. But if you opened up to somebody and shared it with an elder or shared it with another older brother or sister in the church, you know, God can speak to you through that, through the person you spoke to, and encourage you and solve that problem, and you can go back home with your problem solved. So, as young people, we should never be lonely. We should always open our lives to others and allow others to, you know, come into our life. Allow others to, you know, put inputs, spiritual inputs into our life. Yep. Okay, I think I can see some of you slightly sleepy eyes. So maybe we'll hear a testimony. Who would like to go first? Titus, Jonathan, Rachel, Ruth, Kripa, other Ruth, Joy, any of you, who would like to go? You can sit where you are and we'll pass the mic to you. Who'd like to go first? Just 2 minutes. You can share from your heart something, how the church has blessed you, or some of these things that we just spoke about. If they've been true in your life, you can share. Okay, good.
Hello, check. So this is something what really blessed me. What Brother Anand shared is by not grumbling and complaining, not murmuring all the time. Yesterday when actually the accommodation list was put, I was really not happy about it. I was just complaining and grumbling in my mind. But a verse came to me from Philippians chapter 4, what Paul said. Philippians chapter 4 verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. So this is something that really blessed me and really encouraged me. And he said that I have learned this along the way. It's not that, you know, it has automatically come, but God will put in situations where you learn things. And he said that at the end, that it's a secret. Everyone won't understand it, but it will just come along the way.
Okay, good. Good, Jonathan. Would anybody else like to go? Or do you want me to call out names? Yeah, we can hear one of the girls. Kripa, either of the Ruths. Rachel, any of you, anybody? Nobody? Ruth, would you like to go? Kripa? Yeah?
This is just a very small thing that I started doing recently. Generally, when I give a part of my salary to church, I would just do it as a in a very ritualistic way, just give it without thanking the Lord for blessing me. But recently I've started thanking Him from my heart for everything that He has given me, for the blessings, for providing me a job. And I've seen it bear fruit in my life by giving me a more love for Him. So I would encourage all of you all to keep on thanking the Lord for all the blessings that He's given us. It's just something that has blessed me a lot.
Okay, so the others, be ready after this. Yeah. Okay, another thing I want to share with you, youth, I think this will help you. All of these things that I'm mentioning are things that you already know, but maybe I just want to stress some of them so that we understand from a biblical point how important these things are, especially in our youth. Okay, next thing I want to say is about respecting authority God has placed over our lives. This is a very important thing for children growing up and youth. So when we are children and, if we haven't left our parents' home yet, we are still under the authority of our parents. If we are studying in college and we are staying with our parents, we are under their authority. And the same way in the church, all those who are part of the church are under the authority of the elders. We see clearly in scripture that, God has delegated His authority to certain people in the church, and those are our elders. It very clearly scripture says that, an elder is not somebody who's appointed himself, but God is delegating His authority to them. And it's good for us youth if we see that and respect that authority and bring our lives under their authority. If we do that, it'll go well with us. And one important thing that I've learned about authority is God has put authority over us to protect us spiritually. That's one of the main purposes of authority. Any authority God puts over us is to protect us, especially spiritual authority. And in the days of our youth, we must really see that, Lord, You've given me elders, You've given me older brothers in the church to protect me from dangers, to protect me from, making mistakes in my life. And we must see them and bring our lives under their spiritual authority. Okay, I'll just give you a practical illustration. So that the picture will stay. spiritual authority. If I am under spiritual authority, and Titus is also under spiritual authority, we are protected. The rain may fall, snow may fall, so many things may fall, but you see, it can't touch us. It'll come here and bounce off. It'll fall this way. So this is what authority does for us. Authority protects us, and God wants to protect us, especially when we are young, that we don't, you know, go down a wrong path, or we don't have a crash, you know, an accident. We don't have a crash. That's why God has put authority over us. Now suppose one of us decides, you know, hey, I really don't like this authority. It's a little bit, difficult for me. And, you know, Titus slowly decides to, you know, not recognize the authority God has placed. Now what has happened? Yeah. He is exposed now, but I'm still covered. Right? God's protection is upon me and upon my family because I recognize the authority God has placed. But, you know, for some reason, Titus is not recognizing that authority. So he's gone out from the protection of God. So when it rains, it falls on him. When it snows, it falls on him. But I'm still covered. But if Titus decides, hey, I made a mistake, I was safer, I was better off when I was under authority, and he comes back, immediately the authority of God comes back, the protection of God comes back over his life. So remember this example all your life. Don't move out from spiritual authority. I think that's a temptation that comes to many of us, especially in our early 20s. Yeah, okay, I see there, you know, there is authority, but why should I come under their authority? Right? I'm sure some of you would have had these kind of questions in your mind, right? Especially in your late teens or early 20s. But remember this, that God wants to protect us and God wants to avoid a crash in our life. That's why he has given us older, mature brothers to guide us, counsel us and help us, especially in our times of decision. Okay?
Hello, Chek. Praise God for what I've heard. Couple of things. Brother Anand just spoke about Thanksgiving. Last week I was just meditating on what God has blessed me, and I was so thankful. And you know, I never thought that material blessings, what God has provided, I would ever, you know, get it. For example, a good bike or car, a phone, a wonderful job. At some point of my life in college, I know that after dad passing away, that, you know, things are going to be really hard, but it's not so. I mean, God's hand, his blessings, always on my life and our lives. And I have this quote at workplace on my board. I don't remember the exact lines, but it says something like this, that there are around 86,400 seconds in a day. Use some to thank God. And looking at that, I forget to thank God sometimes, but when I look at that, you know, I just close my eyes and thank God for what he has done in my life. That's one thing. Second thing is, on the topic, right choices, focusing our lives, you know, towards eternity. I heard this quote somewhere, and I like to share it with you. I shared it with some of you guys, but I'll share it again. Would really help you guys. So it says, "This side of eternity, you won't know the impact of your small kind of obedience. on this side of eternity, on earth, we won't know the small, the impact of a small kind of obedience. And this line has really, you know, touched me. And, you know, sometimes we feel, obeying God in these small things, you know, doesn't really matter, or, you know, oh, it's just a small thing. Okay, you know, God, thank you so much. But in eternity, it has a huge impact. And I keep this line in doing most of things nowadays, that, you know, I want to obey God. You know, I, even it's a small thing, yeah, fine, God, it's your will. Let me, you know, give it to me, or grant it to me. And I believe that in eternity, it would be a huge impact.
So this week we had enough of sweets at home. So on Wednesday, I eat a lot of them. And at night, I was having a severe pain in my teeth. And I tried everything, like home remedies, applying Colgate and eating tablets, but nothing worked. But after, I cried in pain. But after some time, suddenly, there was some God told me to praise. I felt that need of praising God. And when I praise and I thank God, suddenly my pain, you know, it was healed. So praise God.
Okay, I'll just share one more thing and then we'll close this session and get on to the question and answer session. So be ready with your questions. I think so far not many questions have come. So please, if you haven't dropped a question, be ready, write it on your notepad, and you can drop it into, boys can drop it into the box here and girls in the box there. Just write your age, just your age on it, so that we can help you better. Yeah. So maybe just after this, we'll take a short 2-minute break. We'll sit here itself and then write our questions and drop it in the box, and then we can get on to the question answer session. Yeah. As I said, you know, write about, ask a question about the struggle in front of you, or anything that's in front of you which is puzzling you, or you want an answer to, you think of something like that and ask. Okay, one last thing I want to share. This again is very relevant for youth, and something that has helped me through my years of growing up as a youth. See, it's not enough if we are just saved. God wants us to be completely consecrated to Him and to His purposes. Today, a lot of Christians, a lot of young believers in many churches, they're very content that they are saved and they're going to heaven. They have no desire to grow. They're just happy. I'm saved. I belong to Jesus and I'm on my way to heaven. But that is not the life that Jesus has called us to. You, being born again is just like a child being born, right? No parents will just stop by saying, oh, a child is born, great, that's it, and just leave the child like that, right? They take care of the child, they bring it up, they feed it, educate it, and bring him to adult or her to adulthood. So same way, God wants us to grow from being just born again to being, you know, gripped by this life of being a disciple early in our youth, and then keep going that path and come to a complete consecration in Him. You know the meaning of consecration? Yeah, very good. Set apart for God. So that's what God really wants from our life. He's not happy that we are just born again. He delights in consecrated lives. When He sees a life, a heart which says, I want Jesus alone and nothing else, that brings delight to His heart. Now, in the book, The Songs of Solomon, in chapter 1, there are references to two people. One is the daughters of Jerusalem, the women of Jerusalem. They are, you know, walking around, you know, in today's situation, we can say they are people in the church who who are just coming and going. They're coming and going, they're happy to do things, but they really don't have an intimate love and devotion to Jesus. But in that same chapter, it talks of the daughters of Jerusalem and the bride. So the bride is that Shunammite girl who's referred to in chapter 1. And we know there's a huge difference, right, in the relationship the bride has with the bridegroom and the daughters of Jerusalem have with the bridegroom. The bridegroom, that is Jesus, he doesn't have an intimate relationship with the daughters of Jerusalem who are just walking, you know, in and out the church. But Jesus is interested in having a deep, passionate relationship with each one of us. And that's what he wants from us too. He wants us to be set apart to love him, set apart to do his will, set apart to find his will and do his will in our lives, set apart to his purposes, set apart to fulfill his plan for our lives. That's consecration. I want to encourage all of you, youth, don't be satisfied with just being born again. Don't be satisfied in coming to a good church, but may your heart's cry be, Lord, I want to be completely devoted to you. I want my heart's affection to be on you alone. I desire Jesus and nothing else in my life. Whatever I need in my life, I know you will add to my life. God has promised us that in Matthew 6:33. If you seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first in your life, whatever you need for your life on earth, God says, I will add to your life. So we don't have to be worried about the future, about tomorrow, what will happen, who will take care of me, how will I survive. No, God has taken care of all of that. He only says, put me first in your life, put my kingdom first in your life, every need in your life I'll take care. So I want to encourage you, dear youth, be totally consecrated to God. And if you have a problem, if you feel that you are, you know, your Christian life is like this, you know, sometimes really good up, but then you come crashing down, then again up, come crashing down, I'd encourage you, speak to the elders. These are fathers who can help us. They can tell us, you know, where we are going wrong. And it's usually because, like I said, there are other loves in our life. We have Jesus, but we have other loves also in our life. So our elders can help us, guide us to, you know, leave those other loves and come to a place where Jesus alone is precious. Okay, so we'll close here and then we'll take a 2-minute break now to write some questions and drop in the box. And then we can open the boxes and take a look at those questions.